Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back here to Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long taking to 8 p.m. this evening. Happy to welcome in the first time talking to Chris Connor, who covers the Pels for Boot Crew Media. How you been doing, Chris?
Been doing all right, man. Pleasure to be on the show, man. Thank you, guys.
Definitely appreciate it. Looking at the Pels' last three-game road trip, unfortunately couldn't pick up a victory at all in a tough one the other night, losing in a game where three-point shooting was just so abysmal. I can't even, you know, put a finger on it in Toronto of what exactly went wrong for them. Just an off night totally. Great to see Zion, you know, putting up points in limited minutes. Hopefully we get to see him in action more. But just overall, a three-game road stand that was a big disappointment for this Pel squad that looked like they were building some positive momentum.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's tough for the team right now with all the different injuries and the guys in and out of the lineup to build a, you know, any sense of real chemistry and flow together. You know, even if it's, you know, Zion, who's only played a handful of games this season,
fitting
him back in, him finding some rhythm now. You know, we're talking about conditioning and, you know, him playing 5 minutes here and taking out and getting the rhythm going and taking out again. DeJounte Murray, after coming back from an injury, had played a bunch of different games and he misses a game. And then, you know, you got guys like Trey Murphy, who's really been, you know, who's having a, some would say, a breakout season, struggling a little bit. But, you know, him along with C.J. McCollum, they've kind of been the two as of late that have been available and around. Those two having to adjust. It's just been a season of inconsistency, I would say, across the board. And when you throw that in with some of the injuries and maybe some of the flaws that they have from the roster to, you know, in the coaching staff, so on and so forth, it's just not a real recipe night to night to know really what you're going to get.
Chris, I think it was maybe, I think I read this somewhere, that it was like the third game that Zion, Trey, and DeJounte have played together, which is just to your point, like in and out of injuries, there's no chemistry being built. Last night's game against the Raptors, I wanted to highlight it. You know, they make that push in the third quarter where you're starting to feel good about their potential chances to come back after such a slow first half. And then the fourth quarter happens and they just can't get a stop. All of a sudden, the Toronto Raptors put up 39 points, outscoring by 10, and they win the game by 9. You know, Willie Green was ejected from that matchup as well, kind of arguing the calls that Zion Williamson just gets hacked a bunch in the paint, and NBA officials just don't know when or how to call it. And so Willie kind of standing up for his guy was nice to see, but at the same time, in a losing effort where you kind of fought back in the third quarter with a really strong third quarter, but then fell flat in the fourth quarter, picking up a third straight loss on the road, where against the 14th seed and the 12th seed in the Eastern Conference back-to-back, you really needed to pick up some wins there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I mean, they're in a, it's just a, it's almost a no-win situation right now. You know, when you're in a, when you're this far into the season and you're 23 games under 500, right? Every game hurts. Every close game hurts. I'm sure the guys in the locker room, you know, they feel like with some of the talent they even have available that they should be in more of these games. But, you know, look, I mean, it's still a team that lacks depth in a bunch of different areas. Still a team that bench is hurting, you know, with Jordan Hawkins being inconsistent. He seemed like he was putting together really a stretch, and then you get, you know, a game where he puts up 7 points on 7 shots. Jose Alvarado played 18 minutes yesterday, only got up 2 shots and went 0 for 2. He wasn't able to be effective. The center position, I mean, while Yves Missy will more than likely make an all-NBA team, I mean, this well, a rookie team, this was a position that we talked about all offseason, and really for some years. If you're simply talking about depth, mentioning that the Pelicans needed to improve, there's only so much you're going to get from Eze Mitchell. He played, I think, 22, 23 minutes. Your backups are Daniel Tice and Carlo Makovich. It's just you're struggling there. Javante Green has been playing well, but you don't have enough firepower off of the bench to sustain some of these runs. So then you go back to putting a bunch of the pressure on guys that really haven't played a whole bunch of games together. You mentioned that DeJounte, Zion, and Trey was just their third game playing together. That's not a real recipe for success with even speaking to defense. The defense, no matter who's been out there, even when Herb Jones was available, was having struggles. You look across the board, this team has had to fight something either on or off the floor pretty much since the season started. It's just not it's not a team that I think is in a situation where you can count on them to consistently fight back from game to game adversity. They don't have I don't think they have the right parts that are currently out there, and they clearly don't have the right chemistry and flow as a unit.
Yeah, one of the big issues, obviously, the injury bug was just brutal to this team this year. A guy that's been out for a while now with this ankle issue, and Brandon Ingram, do you expect to see him again in the Pelicans uniform, or is he going to be shipped out of town before we get to see him play again for the Pels?
It's difficult to say that, I think the smart move for the organization, for the team at this point, would be to move Brandon Ingram. The truth is, it's just Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, they haven't gotten enough out of it.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked. It hasn't given you the type of duo that you would want, and whether that's simply off of availability or fit, those two don't seem to mesh well together. And you're in a situation where, even if you look to maybe get a steal on a return for Brandon Ingram contract-wise, I don't think Brandon's in a situation where he's looking at this point in his career, even with some of his injury concerns and maybe, the disappointing season he had last season and some things that he needs to improve on individually. I don't think he's in a position to give the Pelicans that either. He probably wants to change the scenery. He probably wants to go out and see what his value truthfully is in the open market. So if you're in a situation where you're not going to get anything back for him, and as a franchise, you need to move forward, it's time for you to start, if whether you want to call it a mini reset or whatever term it's going to be at this point, a different direction, it would make sense to trade Brandon. But the issue with that is this market, it is a confusing market. We don't know what teams are interested truthfully in Brandon and what they will be willing to give up. Brandon Ingram's name has been talked about in trade discussions for the past 3-4 seasons. We're talking about, deadline moves, off-season moves, and even every time you think the Pelicans may be entered towards making a move, nothing ultimately happens. So, the question that I would have at this point is, I'm sure that there will be some kind of offer, or maybe even multiple offers for Brandon at the deadline. The question is, will the offers that are presented be enough for the Pelicans to maybe have to take a loss in a deal for something that may be an ultimate long-term gain? And I don't know if we've seen them make enough moves in the David Griffin era to really point to them having a history of willing to do that. So that's what's going to be interesting, I would say, the deadline with him.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But I think the interesting thing is it feels like the writing's a little bit on the wall with Brandon. All the discussions, and you mentioned it, this past offseason was full of them about Brandon potentially extending here, and they just weren't able to reach an agreement because Ingram's camp wanted the max, $52 million per year, and the Pelicans weren't willing to reach that number. So nothing really got done. We talked with Bobby Marks a couple weeks back, Chris, and he mentioned that, wherever Ingram gets moved to, and so far the early reports are that Toronto is interested via Mark Stein. Bobby Marks had told us effectively that wherever he gets moved to, they're going to have to figure out a contract extension for him as well. And that's also going to kind of dictate what type of return you can get for him. And you might be operating at a loss, but as you kind of said, it feels like at this point, Brandon Ingram's not going to re-sign here in free agency. So you know, moving on from him, getting something for him, even if it is at a loss, it feels like the smart thing to do for the Pelicans franchise.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. You know, and look, I mean, one of the if you can find any positive from this season in regards to this roster, it is what Trey Murphy, for example, has been able to show you that he's able to do. You can 100% know that he is a starting. I mean, I think a good majority of us have known, Trey's known for the past few years that he was a starter in this league. Well, now everybody can see it. He has an extension. He has the money backing him now. So it's clear he's starting. You know, if you know, Herb Jones is going to be in your starting lineup. You have DeJounte Murray. You have Zion. Yves Missy seems to hopefully be a part of your center. You know, your center of the future discussion. The roster kind of feels as if, you know, you kind of have an idea what the roster could look like going forward. So it should make it easier for you to move forward, and maybe it could be a situation where less talent is actually more. It's not a question of Brandon Ingram's talent as an individual. You know, I think it's more of a fit at this point. And, you know, I mean, really, in all honesty, I think other teams around the league are asking themselves that as well. You see a lot of teams that are looking at wings. They're looking at upgrading their team around the deadline. Brandon Ingram's name isn't attached to a lot of those contending teams that are trying to make moves because, as you mentioned, one of the elements not only is what you're going to have to pay for him or commit to him long term, because I'm sure his agency clutch, they're looking for a place where he can find an extension, not just be a rental, you know. But you have to wonder, okay, well, if it is a team that's trying to make a playoff push or a play-in push or this maybe even trying to contend to a championship team, how does Brandon Ingram make them better? And have you, you know, what kind of shape is he in physically, mentally, you know, the injury concerns that, you know, there. We haven't seen him in a couple of months now, or a month and some change. You know, it's a lot at play. And, you know, I mean, I just think it's a tough decision for everyone involved. But for the Pelicans, I think it's best for them to move forward at this point. They've already committed to some others financially. And right now, you're going to have to sink or swim with what it means to have Zion Williamson as truthfully the face of your franchise going forward.
And then last one for you here, Chris. Steve and I were talking about this in the opening segment. You know, the Pelicans going 0-3 on this road trip. Look, Memphis, that's one thing. But then, you know, Charlotte and Toronto back-to-back, that's a tough look. Because if you're looking ahead, the February slate and even the end of January, the next two games, you know, in the Smoothie King Center against Dallas and Boston, if you add that, then you have two games against Denver, 3-4 against Sacramento with OKC kind of sandwiched in between them. And then you play Dallas again in Dallas. You have back-to-back home games against San Antonio and then back-to-back road games against Phoenix. I mean, this is a 13-game slate that, you know, right now you're 12-35, as you kind of said, 23 games below 500 at this point in the season, you know, getting close to February. But the next 13 games, it feels like this could be kind of the sinking moment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. You know, you talk to a lot of the fans, and yeah. I mean, I think I'm kind of I'm in a weird spot watching the team as well. You know, I mean, I understand those that want to see the team tank for a better draft position and, you know, this new era of sorts. But you know, you look at the roster, even with missing Herb Jones and missing Brandon Ingram, you look at them and say they're not a team that's like, their roster isn't this bad. So, you know, they're not a team that should be in the conversations with, you know, with Washington's or Charlotte's or even it, but here they are. And the schedule does not get easier. You miss in 12 or 13 games. If you go beyond that, we can go all the way to March, you know, and beyond, the schedule is pretty rough for this team. So even if healthy, from how we started the conversation about the guys in and out of the lineup, the chemistry, And even if you were able to string a few games together with these guys, it just feels like another injury is right around the corner. That's what has continued to happen, not just in this season, but in previous seasons over, you know, with a lot of these guys in this group. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, you're looking at a situation where even if you are able to somehow survive this next 12 to 13 stretch, what does that mean? Survival for this team, that this season has went, survival with them just be going 500. But that doesn't help you at all in the long run. You're not moving up the standings there. They're going to have to make some real interesting decisions like, you know, you can't, you're not in a situation where you can necessarily slow down a Trey Murphy who's having a really good year, who wants to play. You can't slow down a Zion Williamson if he's able to be on the basketball floor. He's missed enough games as is. Eve Missy needs as many reps, consistent reps. You got a lot of guys that simply want to play. DeJounte Murray's missed time, has going through things off the floor. He's going to want to be on the basketball floor. It's going to be interesting to see the balance that this team and organization takes in regards to looking at the reality of their situation right now, of a team that looks like they will be nowhere close to any type of playoff contention, but having so many talented and veteran players, C.J. McCollum included, that could be available in a situation where what exactly are they playing for outside of maybe just finding a way to build some type of chemistry going into the offseason and next year.
Chris, just curious too, real quick, about your opinion on head coach Willie Green. Is he safe going into next season, or is it something where this franchise needs to look at a complete reset and look at a new head coach as well?
I think they need to look at a completely new, they need to look at a reset at the coaching position. I don't believe that Willie Green is a horrible coach. You know, I think that there are some things that he does well. I think that there are some things that he does well in regards to having guys buy into certain things. If you just look at it in the most simplest terms possible, one of the things since Willie's gotten to New Orleans that he's been able to lay his head on is the fact that all of his teams, no matter who's available, have been good defensively. This team has not. They've been god-awful defensively. So at that point, if you've already had struggles offensively, which has been a consistent thing, if you already have questions in regards to Willie's ability managing certain games and maybe making the right calls in the moment, and if you have worries about how creative the team or the team can be offensively versus being predictable and stagnant on that side, if you can't count or rely on their ability to defend, then you have to wonder, what exactly is Willie Green offering you as a coach? Are the guys even responding at this point? I don't think if you are in a situation where you are entering a new era, whether that means a high draft pick or whether that means simply going into a new era with Zion Williamson and Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, whoever your best two or three players are, I don't know if you can do that ending an era with Brandon Ingram, where you can go ahead and bring back a new coach. If you are going to start this thing over, if you are going to be a high lottery team, I think it makes sense to knock down a few different things and try to start a new culture of sorts, a new system altogether, and really see what the next 3 to 5 years can look like from there.
Great info, Chris. Definitely appreciate the time. You can follow him, folks, at Impatient Bull on X. Appreciate the time, and we'll be talking soon, Chris. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Chris.
You too, man. Appreciate it.
That was Chris Connor covering the Pels for Boot Crew Media. Like I mentioned, you can follow him at Impatient Bull on X.